Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, welcome back, my friends, once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 49 for June the 3rd, 2014. I'm your host, Jack, and this show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here. Check it all out at techpodcast.com. Please check out our website at tipsfromtheserverroom.com, where you can comment on these shows. You can also leave me a voice message at our voicemail number of 724-701-0550. If you have any questions or ideas for future shows, you can email those to me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, and that is at Technoman. Tonight, folks, I thought we would talk a little bit about Microsoft's WDS server. So first off, what is WDS? What does that stand for? If you've never used it before, it might be something you want to dig into. So we're going to discuss that this evening. And WDS is Windows Deployment Services. Now, Windows Deployment Service is the update and the redesigned version of Remote Installation Service, or RIS. Windows Development Services enables you to deploy Windows operating systems over the network, which means you don't need to install the operating system directly from the CD or DVD any longer. Now, Windows Deployment Service is intended for development specialists who are responsible for deploying Windows operating systems. Now, this guide will assume that you have some working knowledge of common desktop deployment technologies, as well as some network components such as Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol, or DHCP, and Domain Name System, such as DNS. Also, we want you to have a little bit of knowledge of Active Directory. We've talked about that pretty extensively on this show in the past. And Active Directory is ADDS. And that's what we are talking about tonight. Now, the audiences for this is anybody out there that's deploying Windows images to computers on your network, and you want to make it easy and more efficient on yourself. You want to make life easy. I always say you want to work smart and easy, not hard. IT planners, designers, and analysis evaluating Windows Server 2008 or Windows Server 2008 R2, as well as now Windows Server 2012. So what does it do? It allows us to image multiple computers over the network. And folks, you can do this very easily with hands-off deployment. You can make a boot disk, and you can do what's known as a Pixie boot. And you can Pixie boot right out from your network card and go right in to the WDS server and start pulling down your images. It works very, very well. First, we're going to talk about some prerequisites for installing WDS. So the first one is ADDS. A Windows Deployment Service, or services, must be either a member of an ADDS domain or a domain controller for an ADDS domain. Now, the AD, or Active Directory, is actually a forced version or irrelevant. All domain and force configurations support Windows Deployment Services. We talked about this in the past, you also must have a working DHCP server with an active scope on your network, because Windows Deployment Services, remember, uses Pixie, PXE, which relies on DHCP for IP addressing. Now, we've made some boot disks in the past for some clients. And what I did with those clients was we actually set up static IP addresses on the boot disk. Trust me, DHCP is so much easier, and it's just more straightforward. You're going to be so much happier if you have a DHCP server running that you can pull your IP addresses from. The next one is DNS. You must have a working DNS server on the network before you can run Windows deployment services. DNS is very important because it's going to find that computer and that hardware name and find the Windows deployment services so you can actually pull those images down. NTFS volume. The server running Windows deployment services requires an NTFS file system volume for image store. Folks, no more FAT32s. You shouldn't be using those anyway because you know there's a lot of limitations around FAT32 or worse yet, FAT16. And you really don't want to use those type of file systems any longer. You're better off with the NTFS. Credentials. To install the role, you must be a member of the local administrator group on the server. To initialize the server, you must be a member of the domain users group. Now, we will have links in the show notes tonight to give you some this actual TechNet document that I used for the show. And you can read over this. And there is a link that to a Microsoft.com link that will take you out and talk to you a little bit more about required permissions. Now, for server Windows Server 2008, the only prerequisite is that you must be a member of the local administrators group on the server to install the transport server. Note also that a Pixie provider is not installed with transport server, so you must create a custom Pixie provider in order to network boot. You must also remember that you have to have computers that have Pixie boot enabled. Some older model computers do not have this option. It's something that you're going to have to look at your computers. I'm not sure what kind of computers you have or what version of computers you have, but you're going to have to look at the computer and decide. Usually if you go into the boot menu, in the BIOS boot menu, you will see Pixie boot. Now for Windows Server 2008 R2, you must be a member of the local administrators group to install Transport Server. In addition, if you are using Transport Server to network boot, your environment must contain DHCP. Windows Server 2008 R2 contains a Pixie provider, which allows you to network boot. Now let's move on to installing your services. You can install Windows deployment services by using the Initial Configuration Wizard, Server Manager, or the command line if you're running Core. And if you're running Core, believe me, you are a brave individual because Core Server is very interesting to run because you have no GUI interface. Now, to install the role by using the Initial Configuration Wizard, you click on Add Roles, and on the Initial Configuration Task Startup screen, click Next, and then select Windows Deployment Services. To install the role by using Server Manager, click on Add Roles, which is located in the Roles Summary pane. Click Next, and then select Windows Deployment Services. To install the role by using the command line, run one of the following two commands. For deployment server, you want to run the command line, so it'd be like C:// Server Manager CMD space dash install space WDS. For transport server, run Server Manager CMD space dash install space WDS dash transport. Now, during the installation, you have the following two role services to choose from. For a detailed comparison using these options, see transport server. And again, there'll be a link with this document that you can go to that link and check that out. Deployment server. Now, to install this option, you want to ensure that both a deployment server and a transport server are selected on the second screen of the installation wizard. This is the most common option because it provides a full functionality of Windows deployment services, which you can use to configure and remotely install Windows operating systems. Note that deployment server is dependent on the core parts of transport server. Now, folks, that's just very clear and it makes a lot of sense. If you can't transport your images across your network, then the deployment functionality is not going to deploy that image across that very transport server. So it kind of ties together very tightly. Here's a side note for you. If you want to manage Windows deployment services on a remote server that is running Windows Server 2008 or 2008 R2, you can install the Remote Server Administration Tools. To do this, open your Server Manager, right-click the Features node, click Add Features, and locate Remote Server Administration Tools. This will install WDSUTIL, or Windows Deployment Services Utilities. And the Windows Deployment Services MMC snap-in on the server. Now the transport server. To install this option, clear the Deployment Server checkbox on the second screen of the installation wizard. This option provides a subset of the functionality of Windows Deployment Services. It contains only the core working parts. You can use this transport server to create multicast namespaces that transmit data, including operating system images, from a standalone server. You should use this option if you want to transmit data by using multicasting. But you do not want to incorporate all the Windows deployment services. This guide focuses on functionality of the complete installation of Windows deployment services. And folks, we talked a few weeks ago on this show, and I know we talked about multicasting, and how at times when you set up Ghost, I did this for a client once, we set up a Ghost on a server, and we started multicasting a bank of computers for them. When we started that, and the multicasting kicked in, their network pretty much bit the dust. And the reason we found, honestly, was because we had some hubs installed in line with our deployment. I would suggest, if you're doing this, to deploy this over switches. As you know, switches will isolate your network traffic, and there, in fact, you will get less collisions, if none at all, and it allows the other data to travel across your network. So remember that. Use multicasting very cautiously, I would have to say. Here's some known issues, and I thought this one was kind of funny because so many people these days are pushing IPv6. We haven't really talked about IPv6 much on this show that I remember or recall at any given time. And that's mainly because I don't use IPv6. There's only two companies I know of right now that are playing with it, and that would be Amazon and eBay. And that's just because of the extensive amount of server traffic they have, and they are now playing with IPv6. But Internet Protocol version 6 is not supported by Windows deployment services in Server 2008. Windows Server 2008 R2 does not support IPv6 for network booting, but does support IPv6 for deploying images. Now think about that. IPv6 will not support the Pixie boot. And I would have to suggest or probably kind of figure that the computers out there with Pixie boot probably don't know what an IPv6 IP address is. So when an IP address is handed out to those computers, it's saying, hey, what is that? What is that coming across? It's looking for an IP4, right? It's looking for IP version 4, an IP address. So stay away from the IP6 and you will be happy. And if you're using it, then perfect. I'm glad you understand it. And I'm sure you work in a very specific field where you need that many IP addresses. Now, if you're running Windows deployment services on a non-Microsoft DHCP server on the same computer, why would you use a non-Microsoft DHCP server? I'm not really sure. There are a couple out there that you can load, maybe you may have a Linux backend server handling your DHCP and handing out addresses. Maybe you have a router and that router is handing out DHCP addresses. But folks, if you're running a Microsoft shop, I would truly suggest that you run a Microsoft DHCP server on the same computer. In addition to configuring the server to not listen on port 67, you will need to use your DHCP tools to add option 60 to your DHCP scope. Now, if you're not sure what options is, you can look at my YouTube videos. And if you search for 42 Technoman on YouTube, you can definitely pull that YouTube video down for DHCP install, and it will show you how to set up your option. Now, there are some scenarios, particularly those that require running a DHCP server, that do not support adding custom DHCP option 60 on the same physical computer as the Windows Deployment Services server. In these circumstances, it is possible to configure the server to bind to UDP port 67 in non-exclusive mode by passing the SO_reuse address option. So it's passing the SO_, then it's R-E-U-S-E-A-D-D-R, reuse adder. A reuse address option is actually what it stands for. For more information, you can see using SO reuse add and SO_exclusive address. And there's a link again for Microsoft white paper on that, that you'll be able to read after you listen to the show and when you maybe get to your office. And I know a lot of you listen to it in the car, so you might want to pick that up later on. Now, if DHCP is installed on a server that is located in a different subnet, you will need to do one of the following. Now, remember, this gets really, really touchy. I don't recommend you do this. And I know a lot of you out there, because you've written in and talked, we've talked about the VLANs and we've talked about the using different subnet of IP addresses for this or that. It's better to use Windows Deployment Services on a flattened network. A flattened network is just that. Everything is on the same IP scheme. So it's the same subnet. That's what you want to do. So those computers can make it back and talk to your Windows Deployment Server, get the images without a whole lot of loops and hops and all these different packet transfers to go through. But here's what's recommended if you do want to do this. Configure your router to forward broadcast packages or packets. All DHCP broadcasts by client computers use UDP port 67. Should be forwarded directly to both the DHCP server and the Windows Deployment Services server. Also, all traffic on UDP port 4011 from the client computer to the Windows Deployment Services server should be routed appropriately. These requests direct traffic, not broadcast to the server. So again, remember that, folks. That's something that you got to be careful about. Remember we just talked about multicasting? We don't want these broadcast packets going out there and broadcasting themselves across your network. That is what starts to create bottlenecks. That's what starts to hang everything up. And that's why I'm really against multicasting. I don't truly like to use it. You can also add DHCP options 66 and 67. Option 66 should be set to the Windows Deployment Services server, and option 67 should be set to boot /x86/wdsnbp.com. Again, for more information, you can see Managing Network Boot Programs, and there's another white paper. If Windows Deployment Services and DHCP are running on the same computer, configuring Windows Deployment Services to not respond to any client computers will not work. This is because although Windows Deployment Services will not respond, DHCP will. You can try to work around this issue by disabling DHCP option 60 on the DHCP tab. Now, folks, once again, I said I will be adding all this to our website today. We will be putting a link with this show so you can actually go to this TechNet document and you can actually view the document and check it out. And that is mainly for installing and configuring. So to install and configure all this stuff, please read the TechNet document. I didn't really want to get this show into all the stuff with click next, you know, look for this icon, look for that icon. They have a really nice group of screenshots laid out, and it's really easy for you to see this stuff. So it's a lot better if you go to the TechNet document and you check out the Windows Deployment Services. if you in fact are looking to deploy images over your network. Now remember, this goes to say, this does not work for Mac images. I had somebody once ask, said, Jack, well, wonder if I want to deploy some OS 10 images, and it won't work. They don't communicate. It's not the same protocols, and it's just not going to work out for you. If that's the case, you have to put a Apple Mac server in your rack, which is now, if you noticed, is a Mac Mini, and it's just kind of beefed up. There's a couple 500 gig hard drives in there, and then you run the OS 10, whatever operating system is the server version. They have a server version, and it has a very nice imaging system built into there. It's pretty straightforward and easy to use. And you can definitely do it that way if you want to image your Macs. Now, there are some other solutions, and we talked about these early on. It might have been in my first show I did for Tips from the Server Room. I'm not really sure. You can go back and dig around for that show and take a look at that or listen to it and pull those out about imaging computers. But there's a few that I've used in the past, and I let them go. And this first one is that tool. I used to use Norton Ghost. Norton Ghost commercial tool. You can find it at www.semantic.com and just look for Norton Ghost. I will have a link for that also in the show notes. You don't have to remember that, or don't try to write that down when you're driving in your car, because then you might wreck and we don't want you to do that. There's some open source solutions. The one I'm very, very familiar with that we use with a lot of different clients is Clonezilla. Clonezilla is a great open source free program. Now, it does not deploy over the network. What you do is you actually make a boot flash drive. You boot from the flash drive. You plug your external hard drive into the computer, and you can create an image with it, and then you can deploy the image back out on computers. It's very nice. You can deploy images up to roughly, let's go maybe 30 to 40 gigabyte images, maybe even 50. You could do those probably in about 5 minutes, 5 to 6 minutes. So it's very, very fast. It's a rapid tool. Then all you got to do is reboot the computer, rename it, and join it back to your domain or your network. So it's not really that bad. If you're doing a group of computers, you know, 4 or 5 different offices, I would probably recommend Clonezilla over WDS. WDS is one of those ones. Let's say once we set up an office space and we were setting up, I think it was either 14 or 15 machines. And in that office space, what we did was we actually created our WDS server. We built the image in the morning. And then by early afternoon, we had all the workers back in their offices and they were working on their computers because we used WDS and it worked very well. But if I had 3 computers, I would probably elect to go with Clonezilla just because it's just straightforward. There's another one I found this evening as I was preparing for this show, and it is OSF Clone. And that is at osforensics.com, tools, and then create disk images.html. You will find OSF Clone. It looks like a very nice tool also. I have never used it. It might be something you want to dig around and play around with and see how you might like it. The biggest thing, folks, I can tell you with the Windows deployment server is I would keep this off of my Active Directory domain controller. I would build a separate WDS server that I was going to use to deploy my images. The next thing I would think I would want to do is put at least a 1 terabyte hard drive in there. It'd be better if you had separate partitions. The C partition would be used for your Windows Server or whatever you're using, Windows Server 2008 R2, I would hope. If you're running Windows Server 2008, you should stop, upgrade it to the R2. There's a lot of benefits and it just seems to run a lot better. And then I would have a separate partition. You can call it your D drive or E or even the I drive if you want to, for your images. And I would create a folder here called images, and that is the only thing you use that for, is for your images to be deployed. Here's another great thing with WDS we found in the past. Once we were working with a smaller company, they had some finance computers, they had some drafting computers. It was with a small drafting firm. And what they wanted to do was some computers had to be set up one way, and the other computers had to be set up another way. So the drafting computers especially had to be set up with the drafting software that the company was using to do their architectural work. And the office computers needed stuff such as QuickBooks and stuff to do their billing and financing. So what we decided to do was create separate images and give them names based on where you're going to be deploying these images. That way you don't have to do a one image does all. Because what happens with these images, folks, it's not just Windows. The best way to build your image is take your bare bones computer, your workstation, whatever you want to call it, load Windows 7 on there now or whatever you're loading on it. Hopefully it's not Windows XP because we know that it's no longer being supported by Microsoft. That went out April 15th out the window. So now we need to be running Windows 7. If you're brave, you could probably run Windows 8 if you're brave or maybe on the version or on the side of crazy. But anyway, you can pick one if you want it. But what we did was, and what we like to do, is create that first computer, load all your software in there. So I'd load the QuickBooks on there. I would load whatever Office package I want on there. Maybe it's LibreOffice, the free Office package. A lot of our clients are moving to that now and getting away from the high cost of Microsoft packages. We'll load everything on there they need. And then we call that, maybe you'd call that finance image. And then on the other images, we would call those drafting image for the drafters and the architects because they would need their drafting tools on there. When we deployed their computers, we pull that right over. When we pull the other ones over, we do that. You should also load any of your tools if you're loading CCleaner on there, if you're loading Malwarebytes Pro on there, if you're going to put on the image, you might want to put your antivirus on there. Anything that's going to make this hands-off for you later on down the road is going to help you out immensely on the top end. Because remember, folks, time is money, and time wasted is money thrown down the toilet, right? So you got to be very careful when you're creating these images. Also, here's something a lot of people forget. Look for their printers. Their printers in their offices need to be on that image. If not, you can get the image done, and you're going to have to go retouch the computer. The object of imaging and the proper way to image computers is to have that image ready to go. If you buy a new software package, if your company buys something new that they're going to be using, by all means, build yourself a new image and put it back on that server. And the reason I say that is sooner or later, one of those computers are going to go bad, get spyware on it, or something's going to happen, and you're going to have to re-image it. Wouldn't it be better just to hook it up, do a Pixie boot, fire that image back because you know the image is ready to go, rename the computer, and then you're ready to move on to your next job? That is the way to do things. Your client will be happy, you'll be happy because you're saving them money, but most of all, you're actually saving them time. You're getting their computer back up and getting them operational. So folks, that's about all I have for you tonight on WDS. I know it's a little bit of a shortened show there, but hopefully you had just enough time to make it to work, and you're getting ready to park your car as we're getting ready to close this show. And now you can go into work, and you can say, hey, guys, maybe we'll set up a WDS server today. And they'll say, wow, true? A Windows Deployment Services server? That sounds like a neat thing to do. And I'm sure your team will be ready to go there, especially if you're organizing them and getting ready. If not, you may want to walk in and tell your tech director or technical manager and say, hey, I listened to this podcast this morning, and maybe we need to set up a WDS server just to have some images ready in case anything happens, because everybody knows that all of us have to reload a computer every now and then. Folks, I want to thank everybody out there once again for signing up for the server courses on my website. I appreciate that. Also, remember, if you don't have high-speed internet, you can still order the server videos on DVD by visiting jackstechcorner.com, clicking on the pull-down menu, and you can order those DVDs. If you want to learn more about Windows Server, or if you want to learn, you've never touched a Windows Server before, and you want to know how to use it, install it, and operate it, and administer it, then check out my Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, and my VMware ESXi server from install to configuration, or as many people say, from A to Z. You can sign up for one of these online courses simply by visiting tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Look at the online class link at the top of the page. These courses are self-paced. you watch a video, and you take a short quiz. And folks, as I said in the past, and you've heard me say this numerous times, don't let those quizzes mess with your brain. I know a lot of you say, well, man, we've been out of school for, you know, 10 years, 20 years. I haven't taken a quiz for many, many years. These are very simple, laid out. They work along with the video. So if you watch the video, you can take the quizzes. It's straightforward. Once you complete the course, I will mail your certificate, and that is good for framing. It's good for putting with your resume or just turning in to your employer. Maybe you want reimbursed for the actual course. And a lot of companies are reimbursing their people for taking these courses. Once again, you can sign up for this today at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Folks, I hope you have a great work week this week, and I will catch you back here next Tuesday for another show. Again, if you have any ideas, please email those to me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd like to get those ideas in here so we have those available for future shows. Take care, everybody. Until next time, keep those servers running, keep those networks responding, and be careful with multicast. Bye for now. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.